There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that...
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Okay, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Hour number two on this Friday Eve edition of the show. And once again, just a week out from our event with the Mobile mayoral candidates, and this is going to happen at the Convention Center. It is the Business Expo going on, Mobile Chamber's Business Expo, and so we're taking this event to the Business Expo. You'll be able to hear it here on the air in our streaming and all that good stuff, but this chance, you come in person. You could be at the Business Expo. It opens, I think, at like 10, and it's open until 3 or 4 in the afternoon, but we'll be there doing this from noon to 2. And the candidates will be there. We'll be asking questions. You'll be able to hear their reactions in person or, of course, check them out here on the air. What I'm asking of you is to help me. I want to, you know, get your questions there. Believe me, I've been working on questions for a couple weeks now, but there's always something I miss. So if you want to send an email and do it, I know people put it through the text, but y'all, we just get like a ton of text every day and it's great. I love it. Keep it up. But for this, things can get lost sometimes. So email is best. Sean, my first name, S-E-A-N, Sean at fmtalk1065.com. If you're Mobile resident and you'd be inside the city limits, and then send it with the subject line, mayoral question, mayoral debate, anything like that. Just Mobile mayor, something in the subject line so it stands out to me. And then your question. Type it out there, and then we can ask it. I can redact your last name and just say, hey, it's Sean from Midtown or whatever. But yes, send those in and they will help me. There may be some things, there probably are some things I haven't thought about to ask a question. And we are trying to do this a little different. KRG did a good job on Monday evening, but they were doing 30 seconds for answers to try to get more questions in. And we'll flip it around and give a minute for the answers. We'll get fewer questions in, but maybe get a little more in-depth with those. So that's on your to-do list. Help me out with some of those questions. All right, without further ado, the crowd goes wild. It's Kyle Hamrick from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How are y'all doing?
I'm good. Real good.
Good deal.
There's a lot. Let's go. Let's see, because there's a heavy lift here that I want to talk about, and that there's probably a lot of detail that I'm trying to understand. But this one I'll go with before that. It seems like, and one of the stories y'all can see at lanyapmobile.com, here's the headline. Now, Kyle, do you write your own headlines or not?
Yes, I do. I write my own.
Okay.
And,
McGregor road work is on track, Mobile councilman says. So you're talking
That's
about
right.
the councilman who I know well, Councilman Joel Daves, said the South McGregor Avenue work is on track and on budget. I like the on budget part. I hear from people, I mean, obviously it's a big traffic changer for a lot of us out there traveling, but
right.
I do hear from a lot of people who don't feel like it's on track. I mean, they're not professional builders or anything, but some people are not happy with it. So what's Joel Dave saying here?
So this comment came at the end of Tuesday's city council meeting, you know, where all the councilors can have a few moments, you know, just to say what's on their mind. And McGregor was on Joel's mind, and he just took a few minutes out of what was a pretty interesting meeting, and he just said, you know, hey, the South McGregor road work, you know, they're trying to, you know, they're putting a roundabout in at McGregor and Dauphin. He said that effort is on track and it is on budget. That's definitely something that drivers on Airport and drivers on Dauphin have been keeping an eye on for a while, just when this thing will get better. But he said that it could be wrapped by the end of the year, fingers crossed. So they are currently working on that roundabout that I mentioned, which, you know, Joel had a great quote. He described it as the mother of all roundabouts.
Well, I'm going to say it's so the mother, because I've called it the Matronly Spring Hill, the Matronly Spring Hill confuser. It will be interesting when it goes in. So,
yes, it definitely will.
Now, one of the things, you've got that part of it, but then you have the link between there down to airport, right? That's been the big project.
Right.
It was interesting when you reported on this, and maybe they did, because I don't hear everything, read everything, but if I'm a PR person, I think they should have put this information out first instead of just saying how long it would take, because what Kyle's written here is only a few weather delays slowed the project. However, city crews spent, you said, 2 years digging through the bedrock to remove and replace 8 different utility lines, including a 75-year-old 22-inch gas main. 2 years of digging?
Yes. Yeah.
That's, well, where are we going? China here?
Years. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, that's what Brady did a story on that. So I kind of leaned back on my former colleague, Brady Petrie, and he had written, you know, this project started, I believe, in 2023. And then from then up until this past spring, they had been trying to, you know, shore up those lines. And it just was a bear for the city to get through. And, you know, now that we've got that behind us, they're trying to move along to your confuser.
You're talking about bedrock, and everything's got bedrock under it, but unless there's a big granite deposit, you know, we all in school, we used to have these debates like, is Spring Hill the final piece of the foothills of the Appalachians, right? I had a teacher, he was great. We'd talk about it in class.
Right.
But I doubt that it's a huge granite deposit. I don't know. I guess I'm still, it's 2 years of digging. I don't know if you've seen how great big pieces of equipment work. They can get through some stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just shocked me. I wish they had told me that before they got started, that it's going to be 2 years of digging.
Right. Now, this definitely has been a shocking project for drivers out there. It's, and, you know, we apparently have an end date, you know, that could come at the end of this year, but, you know, as always, we'll just have to wait and see. But you know, Joel seemed pretty optimistic, and, you know, he's on his way out. He's not running for re-election to his seat, so I don't know. Hopefully he might, you know, carry the McGregor project out with him in a finished state.
Well, we'll see. And I know Texture said, when's the whole thing finished? I guess that means both parts.
Well, there's the South McGregor, which will be, you know, they say could be done at the end of this year. But the North McGregor over by, I think it's Lang and Gina Gregory, said that they're in the design work for that project. And that
sweet
should
Jesus.
Be, you know, that's going to be, that one still has to formally get started, I believe.
Wow. It's
piece by piece.
Yeah, for sure. So that one, I thought that one was going to be the easier lift. This one would be the harder, but maybe they're equal. We had Councilman Carroll on to talk a little bit about this on Tuesday's show, but the MAMGA property deal. So this is property that's owned by the city, but the Y is on it, and they're going to sell it to MAMGA for a dollar or something. Explain all this, and who owns what, and what's it supposed to be?
Right.
What are they asking it to be?
Right. So these are two parcels on Dearborn Street. One is directly behind the Dearborn Y, and it's vacant. There's like a little, walking track that's out there. The YMCA said that they've used it, you know, kids play out there. Some seniors will walk around out there. They have different stuff. And then there's a second piece that is shaped like a triangle that's kind of behind the Family Dollar off of Broad Street. But, you know, those two properties are owned by the city. Now, there's a pretty complicated question of, the Dearborn piece was supposed to be deeded to the Y, and there's like an escrow thing that we won't get into there. But the city came out, it was last week, and said that these two pieces of land, we don't need them for municipal purposes, and we're going to sell them put together to MAMGA for $1. It is not clear exactly what MAMGA planned to do with those pieces.
Because I was looking, I was guessing like a den or a float thing or something like that. I mean,
Yeah. That's what I heard, was that they planned to do some kind of Mardi Gras stuff on it, which I'm not sure exactly, you know, what kind of stuff they had in mind. But they planned to do that. And of course, last week, this deal got some blowback from the CEO of the YMCA, who claimed that the Y was not a part of any of these talks with the city and MAMGA, and that the city was basically trying to swipe this land out from under them. And then William Carroll said that we need to get some more info. And if he didn't get any more, then he would move to kick this thing off the agenda. And that is exactly what happened on Tuesday. He called on the council to, quote, kill it. And they all voted it down. So it's not going to be an issue coming up at a future meeting. But it's definitely a strange one there. It's kind of a complicated story.
Well, that's why I say it's complicated. Reading through it, like you're reporting, I was like, okay, but at one point, the city did offer it to Dearborn, but why? But then that's been like 20 years ago or something, but they didn't want to have
that's
it because
right.
of the cost of it? Or
yeah, that's right. There was something to do with, you know, like the cost and the budget of the YMCA, and that there was a question of possibly losing some grant funding, and they had a deed that claimed that, well, they had a document that said that the deed to this property was supposed to come to the Y after 20 years, but their lawyer said that he thinks that didn't ever, you know, come to be. So there were definitely some complicated sort of legal questions there that, you know, they didn't really come up with some answers to. And then now it's off the agenda. It's not going to be up for for consideration anytime soon.
Okay. So that confuses me, I guess, this last story. Well, we'll get to before I go to the last story. Cover story this week got oysters on the cover. That gets people's attention.
Yes. It certainly gets mine.
Yeah. So this is, just more. I mean, it seems to me, because, y'all, the headline here, oystermen and officials trying to stop spoils placement in the bay. I don't know that there have been many. Not that there haven't been any, but there's not been many stories I can remember the last decade that had people from kind of all political stripes, all parts of the area, all coming together, calling for something to stop or something to happen.
Yeah.
And it continues to not change. It seems like there's enough, I don't know, outcry about this. I mean, we got the dang senators saying they're on board with stopping the thin layer placement. But what?
Yeah, we do.
But now if it affects people's oysters, now we're talking.
Yeah. You know, this cover story is written by my new colleague, Grant McLaughlin, who's a very good reporter. He did a very good job trying to get as many folks in this story as possible, like you said, from various stripes. But, you know, these oyster farmers and these oyster growers that Grant talks to said that they've been seeing some diminished harvests in the past few months, in the past few years, and they're pointing their fingers at the thin layer placement of dredge materials by the Army Corps engineers who are trying to deepen and widen, you know, the shipping channel to Mobile. So, yeah, I think, and like you said, this movement has definitely drawn people in from all sides. There's cities here in Mobile County and cities on the Eastern Shore who have signed a letter of support written by the Baykeeper and sent that to Congress. I believe that Senator Britt is working on an appropriation of some kind to study the oysters and to kind of, you know, see what they're going through all this thin layer placement. I had, you know, some fried oysters for lunch, you know, just an hour back, and I am definitely passionate about keeping these bad boys in good shape. Mm-hmm.
It's a great motivator for sure. I mean, we got water quality absolutely. And leads to our food as well. And before we wrap up, Kyle, like I guess I celebrate this because, you know, y'all are part of it. You're named in this. My friends at Nutria Rodeo are part of this as well. I'll have
great
to say,
guys.
Yeah, don't encourage them. Yes, they are, but don't encourage those guys. but I have to say I'm upset there wasn't FM Talk 106.5 involved in it, but yeah. Monopoly, the Mobile Edition, is out here. So I didn't know we were big enough to get our own Monopoly game. I guess we're going to all have to have one in our house to be Mobilians.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's you know, you could sit it next to your Civic Center brick.
Yes.
Yeah. Top Trumps came out last year and said that they have chosen Mobile to be their next city in their collection of, I think, 25 that have Monopoly boards made for them.
And that's cool. I mean, only 25. Because I figured I didn't 25. Know how far down the list. That's pretty good.
Oh yeah, we're definitely in the, you know, we're in the top 25, so that's a good ranking.
That is cool. I didn't realize it was that small of a list. I figured, you know, that well, they've been doing it, Sean, since 1970, and they finally got around to us. But this is not this stands out.
Oh yeah, yeah, and this is an officially licensed Monopoly board, and it is. I think it went out online last week, and I believe they're going to sell it at some local retailers here around town. I was very glad to see the Bankhead Tunnel and take the causeway on there. I also was glad to see the Nappies get a little nod, but they definitely could have easily come up with a chance card, you know, something to the effect of you've texted into Midday Mobile with Sean, get $5 from every player or go straight to jail or something like that.
It'd be good. It'd be good. All right. Y'all could read about that and a whole lot more. New issue of Land App out on the streets now, or if people are going to be cool like me and look at it online, how do they get signed up?
Head to landyapmobile.com. We have a subscription feature on the website, or you can call the office and we'll be happy to help you.
Good stuff, Kyle. Talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
All right. There goes Kyle Hamrick from Land App, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, got a second here. Get to some text. We will when we come back from the news as well. The Dirt Digger says, we in the private sector, in the business, we would have finished in 1 year. Government and state city workers don't get it done like we do. Look at all the potholes in our roads. You talking about the dig there on McGregor? I don't know. I mean, I think it's private contractors, I would guess, working there. And I don't know how long it should take. I was just a word to the wise. I grew up hearing that. Just a word, like, if I'm an elected official and I see the project like McGregor coming ahead of time, I go, hey, y'all, we got this project coming. We need to do it. It's going to be a pain in the butt. Here's what they told me. They said they got to dig through serious bedrock to get to these 8 different utility lines going up this hill. And to put those, like, I'd have a presser beforehand to say, that's, this is coming. And maybe they did. Maybe I missed part of that. And they said it was going to be a long project. But I would have, instead of just saying, hey, this project's going to take 2 years, I'd say, here's why. You know, I'd down at council or whatever, and I'd try to get on the radio shows like this one or something, say, here's what we're doing. Here's why it's taking, they told me in the meeting it's going to take long because of this. I don't know. It just seems like that would, makes sense. Let's see. Tim and Foley said, what are the pillars going in at Texas Street on ramp in front of the battleship? Are these pilings for the new I-10 bridge? I don't know, Tim. I don't know. Is it Texas Street or on ramp? The track is supposed to, Tim, I don't know. It could be for something else, but that is where the track would be. Right, because it's going to divert from I-10 earlier than where, like, the tunnels are. Could be. I don't know. We will find out. Somebody out there knows, Tim, if those pilings you see going in right there by the Texas Street on-ramp or about the I-10 Mobile River Bridge. Somebody let me know on the text line.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Thursday style. Good time to check in with my buddy Blaine at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. And you talk tractors. Can we just, okay, y'all listen along because I'm just talking to Blaine. Is that, that's for the tractor, new tractor, under $20,000?
Yeah, Sean. So right now we're running a special on our L series, our 2502 DTs.
Man, I used to have one of these. I used to have an old model of that tractor. Yeah. Yes, those things are useful.
Both of my grandpas still have this size tractor, and they're still running today. They're 20-something years old. So it on the 2502 DT right now, cash price, $19,999. If you want to bundle it into something else, you know, you want to package it with something, deer season is coming up. This is a great hunting camp size tractor.
I planted so many food plots. I planted so many food plots with that tractor, that L25. I think about the years on that tractor. Those things, man.
We sell a lot of these packages to deer hunters. So right now is a good time to take advantage of this deal.
What are you talking about packaging too? How are you looking on implements right now? I mean, if people looking
good.
I mean,
we just got a couple Land Pride trucks in earlier this week with disc, tillers, rotary cutters, bush hogs, spreaders. We got it all. If you're starting to think about heading to the hunting camp, get some food plots, we've got all the implements as well.
You got a price that got a lot of people's attention on that tractor. So they could just call you and say, hey, I'm interested in that L25?
Yes, the L2502, $19,999 cash. We do have the zero interest financing still through Kubota. If you don't want to pay cash, we still got the zero interest financing through Kubota. We can do all the Land Pride and Kubota products for that zero interest. So right now is a good time to go ahead and prepare for what's coming up in the next few months at the hunt camp.
You got me on that one. Also, before we wrap up too, because weekends, you know, we're looking at the weekend starting tomorrow. Rental department, how are you looking, and what do you got there that somebody may not think you have in the rental department?
We're looking good. We've got all the tractors and skid steers and mini excavators, but man lifts, dump trailers, any type of equipment trailer, we have that. We've got the telehandlers, we've got forklifts, all the way down to handheld power tools. But something else, talking about hunting camps and stuff, we've got the 30 and 40, 50 size horsepower tractors for your deer hunt camp guys. You know, the guy that doesn't want to spend the money to buy one, if you're just one weekend out of the year that you're going to be using it, we've got all that in our rental department. We got the tractor with a front end loader, and we've got all the implements, whether it be tillers, disc, bush hogs, spreaders, sprayers, box blades, all that to go along with those tractors. So if it's not in the budget or you would only use it one weekend out of the year, just come rent it.
Well said. All right, tell people how to find you.
Well, right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale on Highway 59. Come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and Saturdays, 8 till noon. Give us a call at 251-947-4171 or visit us online at parrishtractor.com.
Good stuff, Blaine. We'll be seeing you soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine. All right, this is good. So this is what I love, the collective intelligence of the audience. Here, somebody asks a question, and a lot of times y'all got the answers for it. So Tim had been asking about, he said, what was going on at Texas Street on-ramp. Were those pilings there, those pillars going in there, have to do with the I-10 bridge? And so here you go. John says, those are test piles for the new bridge. Matt in Daphne says those are test piles for the new bridge. They're doing large test piles on the east and west side of the ICW. Huh. Where's that? That's what the big yellow cranes are for. Josh says, yes, those are test pilings. Y'all, see, thank you. Like, many of y'all on here know exactly what's going on. So that's a, let's see. Haywood said, should have a high bank curve, 65 southbound, starting around Cottage Hill to slingshot onto the I-10 upper level straightaway. And Jason said, no, it's the first stage of Spiro's trolley station. I don't know if we can. I mean, we will ask some next week from today when I'm talking to the mayoral candidates here. I will talk them about public transportation. I think there's a more efficient way to. I know there's a more efficient way to do what we need here without overdoing it, like with the WAVE system. I mean, maybe the WAVE's still involved, but maybe it's different size. These vans are not buses. I don't know. We'll find out their ideas. And the discussion from we're talking about the oysters with Kyle Hamrick. Earl, who I always enjoy. Earl, I enjoy your pictures. Over the years, he'll be talking oysters and sending me pictures, and I dig it. And said, it's not farming. It's a reef, kind of natural. Talking about the what's pictured on the front of the land app. But I mean, I've got a buddy of mine that's in the, he calls it farming oysters. Here's why I say, Earl, and like, I'm not going, two reasons. Number one, two reasons not to disagree with somebody who tongs oysters. Number one, they know what they're talking about. They do it every day. And number two, their upper body strength is like, I know better. I know which not to mess with. My buddy who does these, the farming part of it, I thought was interesting, Earl, is that he's breeding certain spat, the same way we'll do with cattle, right? Like, he's selecting for certain traits in those oysters and creating spat from parents that show those traits. I thought that part of it was real interesting before, putting them on the structures and letting them grow there in Mississippi Sound. So it's pretty cool. Also, Earl said, I sell them, can I say who you sell? Sell them to Three Men in a Boat. They're a real oyster house. I do bring some home for me and my wife, and sometimes a sack for me and some friends. It's income for me later in the fall and early winter. Yes, and there's that time of year, man, when it gets good and salty, isn't it? They taste so very, very good. Well, thank you. I mean, we've done whole shows on oysters, and we'll probably do that again, too, because I like them. That's why. And they are part of this bigger conversation. It is worth talking about here that this issue is one that has, I think, galvanized so many people in the community from all different, walks of life about the thin layer placement. And the early arguments that were slated that said, hey, if you're against this and you're against the port, for me, nothing could be farther from the truth. I am so pro-port, Port of Mobile, as we call it, or as the rest of the state calls it, Alabama's port, but Port of Mobile. I'm so pro the deepening and widening. And, one of the things, too, people say, it lets bigger ships come in. It's not just that. It's the fact that they can be heavier, right? So the amount of, let's say you're shipping into a port. Depending on the depth of that channel, whoever has the deepest channel is usually where you would go first, right? Because you can draw the most water. As you offload things to go to that place, then you go to channels that are shallower because you're not drafting as much. So it not only means bigger ships, but it means it will be a premium stop because it's the first place they can offload. I'm for all of that. At the same time, I can chew and walk and chew gum. We can keep the maintenance done on the now deepened and widened channel. Keep the maintenance done and take the spoil elsewhere. So didn't somebody say, I heard it on the morning show today, or I think that it was needed, one of the arguments was needed because we were starving the bay of like nutrients. I've said this 100 times. A delta like ours is built, we are not a clear, if you expect clear water, go to Destin. Okay, we're not, that's not how God made us. We will always have some turbidity, and certain times of year, more and less. But we as human beings have made it more turbid, for sure. But we did things to try to make that better. Streamside management zones and logging, silt fences around construction sites, these things to keep that runoff minimized. Still getting in there, but minimized as best as they could. And maybe we could do better. There's already an amount of silt that's coming down the river system anyways. That's how the that's how the mountains of North Alabama become the beach of Mobile and Baldwin County. It's natural system. And it builds land, the delta. The interface for where the water slows down enough to start dumping the sediment. You know, when water's moving quickly, it can hold sediment. You let it get still, it starts dropping it out. That stillness comes from the braiding of the rivers, comes from a southbound river hitting an oncoming tide, all these things. So that is, there's an amount of sediment that's there, and it is healthy. It is right. The problem is, this is the difference between eating a healthy diet and overeating. We already have that sediment coming down, and now we're going to put more on top of it that's not supposed to be there. So it's not this idea that, well, if they didn't do thin layer placement, then it would be, you know, look like a, like I was down in Puerto Rico last weekend, right? Snorkeling, love it. Water's really clear for me. They're like, it's not real clear. I'm like, it's real good for me. I can see 40 feet, 50 feet. It's fantastic. Maybe more than that. It's not going to be clear like that, but it's not going to be where it is now, which blocks out the sun. And if y'all didn't study that in science, the sun is what makes everything grow. So whether you're talking about oysters or seagrasses, and then those become nurseries for critters we like to catch, critters we like to eat, even the ones we don't like to catch and eat that are supposed to be there. This is all part of a system. So we can have a maintenance on the ship channel and then take that spoil either offshore or move it to a beneficial site out of the water or create new marsh and all those things. You can do both things. I don't know why, I at this point, there's such a, from all walks, people saying no, that we haven't just gotten this turned around. I really don't. We got our senators on board. We got, leaves me scratching my head still. All right, coming back, we'll talk more about that at 343-0106, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 150, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. This segment brought to you by Blue Water Yacht Sales and Surface. As my buddy Forrest, and you can find him on the East I-65 Service Road, also down at Orange Beach Marina. And right now, too, reminder here from Forrest, summer's not over yet. He said, just because it's August doesn't mean boating season's winding down. Blue Water Yacht Sales, they stocked up on pre-owned boats. Now, we've talked about this before, how good they are in the brokerage world. They have some of the best boats in our area that are for sale. They've got them right now. So if you're looking at your next boat, they got them. And if you maybe want to sell the boat you have before you buy that, they can help you with that as well. Plus, he's got Yamaha promotions going on right now. As I called him the other day because a family member thinking about repowering. He's got the engines. He's making deals on them right now with Yamaha promotions. BlueWaterYachtSales.net, that's their website. If you go to BlueWaterYachtSales.net, you can look at their used boat inventory. You can look at their Yamaha engines. And you can even set up an appointment to stop by and get your service work done on the boat. Or see them in person, East I-65 Service Road and at Orange Beach Marina. Some closing text here, a few, and then we'll a couple stories we'll end up with. Let's see. Bucky Beaver. Bucky says, Sean, love the show, but I might not be around too long. Uh-oh. I'm thinking about being a smelling salt dealer for all the football teams. As Paul this season, just looking for couriers. Can they help me out with this new enterprise? Yeah, smelling salts. You know, I'm so old. How old are you? Actually, we didn't have smelling salts on the sideline, but I was, who's old enough that at football they were talking about the salt tablet things? Remember that? Should we take those? I feel for those boys right now. Remember that at the start of August practice? Oh, I mean, it just the smell of the cut grass, the zero wind where we practiced, the 8,000,000% humidity. Wow. And the coaches loved it. Oh, yeah. Hey, y'all had a nice relaxing summer, didn't you? Oh, you look like you put on some pounds. We're going to work those off of you right now. Unnamed texter here said, let's see, this could spoil be sold as dirt? I would buy a truckload for a garden. They probably wouldn't because there might be in that kind of density. I mean, I don't know how they would distribute it, but it also might have some pollutants in it in that level. Maybe they could. But there's a lot of projects they could do with it. And if you take it, you know, dilution is a solution to pollution. You take it out offshore. And it's also in the dredging. I talked about this back last month when Mayor Collier, mayor of Dauphin Island, and I were talking. We've talked about this dredging stuff well before this ever came up. I mean, we talked, I probably started 10, 12 years ago about this. But different kind of spoil depends on where you are in the channel, right? You're up by the Mobile River. We've got a lot heavier sediment in it, right? Or more clay, more what you call mud in it. You get down to the south end, it's a lot more beach-grade sand. So you have different uses for what you'd be dredging from different parts of the channel. And so, you know, one level, that can be dredged and be used for beach sand and nourishment on places like Dauphin Island. A little further up, it could be more that would make marshes and estuaries and those, you know, those kind of things. So there could be some subtlety to it as well. Let's see. This is pretty cool. Matt says, fun fact. I like fun facts. Where they're doing the test pilings, where you see the yellow cranes, if you look up about 180 feet, that's where the bottom of the bridge will be in those locations. At the center of canal, it'll be 210 feet free water. Okay, down to the water. So 210 to the water. Wow. That is a fun fact. And it's, we'll see. We'll see the, at least something's happening. You know, I've been made a living of saying, I'll have a jet pack before they get this thing built. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll be old enough to be able to drive on my own and go across. B-Dark says, if we could produce and manufacture all of our needs, we could survive. Okay. I don't disagree with that. And let's see. Danthaman said, Sean, I lived in 5 years in Puerto Rico. Loved it. Fished the trench and had a blast. Mahi and tuna were incredible. Yeah, I was looking at that. Didn't end up going fishing. I wanted to go tarpon fishing because the offshore thing, I think, is a little better in the wintertime down there, isn't it? And, you know, we offshore fish here, but I wanted to go fish those. But it was like an hour back to San Juan. We just didn't. But we snorkeled. Did the snorkel. Loved it. Enjoyed it down there. Really, I would go back. Puerto Rico was cool. I like it. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So once again, it's a funding issue. Yeah, somebody's asking what's holding this up. It's a funding issue. This is so many layers of thin layer placement of this story. But the Corps is tasked, and I've defended the Corps some on this because they have been tasked in the past with the lowest cost removal of dredge spoil. They kind of had their hands tied. In other places that they've been given the green light to use other techniques, they have. We have our senators saying the funding will be there to do it this way, to not do thin layer placement. But there's doubling down. And one of the frustrations, too, I think this is before I left last week, the discussion we had, they said in the past, the Corps had said there was different. They said, we'll use beneficial use will be X percentage. I don't know. Let's say these numbers aren't correct, but let's say beneficial use will be 50%. Okay, so that means creating wetlands, doing the things, upland, doing those projects. And thin layer placement will be 50%. And it may be 80-20 or whatever. Then last week they came out and they collated the term thin layer placement as a beneficial use. In other words, by their own documents, they had already told us they saw them as different things. Then they had a reset and they're trying to lump thin layer placement in as beneficial use. And this is not me inventing the definition. It's just saying what the Corps had said in the very recent past. And I know they talked about it some on the show this morning. We've had that discussion many times. It used to not be this way. They weren't allowed to do thin layer placement. Right? They had some funding issues there. And they had a temporary, you can do this for a while because budgets are tight and you have so much. Okay. All we're asking for is it to go back the way it used to be. That back in the 80s, and I think through the 90s, they couldn't do thin layer placement. And then they started doing it. Now we're just asking it to go back to what it used to be. So we'll watch where this goes, and hopefully we'll get some more movement on it very, very soon. All right, Paul Feinbaum on the way next. We'll do it again tomorrow on a Friday for Midday Mobile. Y'all have a great one.